You know, we need always to use what God has given us. We have nothing else. That's the only thing that we do need. We don't all have the same ability. How many of us have excused ourselves from doing things because we aren't as good at it as somebody else? Not all of us were called to be preachers, but some were. And the ones who are called to be preachers need to preach when the opportunity arises. When God gives you good ability, use that ability for His service. But some, God gave the gift of teaching. I pride Hillcrest Baptist Church in having a lot of good teachers. We've got a lot of good teachers in our church. And we're happy and we praise God for each one of them, because they have the ability to do what God has called them to do. But not everybody is called to be a teacher. But you know, some people have the gift of organizing. Now, I can preach some. I can teach some. Organization is not my strong suit. I'll be straight up. I'm glad in our Sunday school class we have people who are good organizers. And when something needs to be done and we want something to happen, it gets organized and it gets done. But that's not my strong suit. But some people have the ability to do things that are behind the scenes. And Brother David uses that phrase a lot, and I like it. Behind the scenes. Somebody may not know what your talent is, but you're using it for God's glory. For those who have been given much, much shall be expected. But some people have lesser abilities. And did you notice that in verse 15? Where the master gave one slave 5 talents. But to another slave he gave 2 talents, to each according to his ability. God will never call you to do what He has not gifted you to do. And He'll never ask you to do more than He's gifted you for. That's a given. So some people have limited ability. You know, you don't expect a pony to pull a mule's load. Can't do it. And neither can we expect everybody to do everything. That's why Paul talked, when he talked about the people who are given different gifts within the church, different people have differing gifts because they all work together as a unit. You can't all do the same thing. Don't want everybody to do the same thing, but we have different gifts. But the work is still important, because when he called these men to account, he expected them to do something with these talents. Now, just a little side note. We don't really know how much a talent's worth. Okay? Back in the Old Testament days, a talent was a weight. And you would have weights on a scale, and you put so much silver on a scale, and it was a weight of silver or of gold or whatever. It was a weight. By the time of the New Testament, there was a monetary piece of metal coin called a talent. But that's not the same thing we have today. So, by the best estimates, a talent was about $1,000 worth in today's market account. So he gave one slave $5,000 to work with. He gave one slave $2,000 to work with. He gave another slave only $1,000. Why did he differ the amounts? Because they had different abilities. And the one who had only the $1,000 worth was one who couldn't do as much as the other two. Will God expect you to do as much as your pastor does? Never call you to do that. That's not what He's expected from you. But He's expected you to do what He's given you to do. The lesson is still important. You know, the one thing that's true about nature, nature seeks to reproduce itself. Everything in nature seeks to reproduce itself. I used to work at the education center on Fort Leonard Wood, and somebody would come in on the day that things are hopping, and he'd say, "Have you been busy?" One of my favorite phrases was, I've been busy as a bunny in the spring. Now, why is the bunny in the spring busy? Because he wants to reproduce himself. That's what nature does. You planted a garden, possibly. And I don't care if you put lettuce or radishes or peas. Later, other things will come along. But the seed that you put in the ground will reproduce its own kind. Everything in nature seeks to reproduce itself. Oh, what's the lesson now? We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should have only one desire on our hearts, and that's to reproduce ourselves. That is, to beget other Christians. Did you hear the man this morning? Wasn't that good? That man preached a sermon this morning. But we need to reproduce ourselves because we need to beget other Christians. Are we all going to win the same amount? No, some may win 10, some may win 2, some may only win 1. But we who are about the Lord's business will reproduce what He has given us. We don't have anything but what He's given us. Jesus told us in the model prayer, He says that we should... Now I've lost my train of thought. Have you ever done that? Oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now I forgot. And that's not one of my notes, so I didn't put it in my note, and I'm sorry about that. But as we beget one another, we should do what the servants were expected to do in this parable. He gave them so much, they were to produce so much more. All of us have at least one gift. You've heard many a time where the teachers in Sunday school, pastors at the pulpit, have talked about we all have at least one gift. And I bet in every time that's so, there's somebody sitting in the congregation and say, not me. I don't have any gifts. You know, I'll accept that argument from you for a moment. Until we have to realize all of us have been given the gift of salvation if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't call that a gift, you're mistaken. God gave us the gift of salvation. And if that's the only gift that He gave us, recognize that's what we're to reproduce. Now, you might not be able to stand up here and sing a special. You may not be able to lead a Sunday school class. You may not be able to organize the building of a new building. I'm glad I wasn't called for that one. But you've been given the gift of salvation. And that you can share. There's no way you can get around that. The gift of offer of salvation has been offered to the whole world. That's why Jesus said, go out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Because it's offered to everyone. And how does it get offered? Through you and through me. We are the only Bible some people will ever read. We are the only one, the voice of the crying in the wilderness to somebody. If we don't tell them, they'll never hear. We need to know. And then the other gift that we will have is a reunion with our Creator. All of us were called and created in the image of God. And to those who are saved, born again, believers in Jesus Christ, we will return to the Creator who begot us. That's a wonderful gift. And it can be shared. You know, there's a foolish slave in this story. A slave that buried the talent that his master left in his care for him to take care of and do with. In one way, you might think, you know, he was a pretty smart dude. Except when you think about whenever the master called him to account and he said, I know you're a hard man. And you get things that people don't even understand how you get them. You reap where you don't sow, and you gather where you haven't scattered seed. We know that you're a hard... He began finding fault with the master. And are we guilty sometimes when God has stirred our hearts through this word, through a sermon, through whatever, and he says, you need to be about my business. Are we finding fault with God? Saying that he's not fair, asking us to do what we can't do? Folks, that's what this servant did. You know, it's foolish to bury a gift. If for no other reason, here is an opportunity lost. An opportunity that will never come this way again. We have these moments in life where we have the opportunity to speak and say, Jesus is my Savior, and he can be yours. We've all had these opportunities that we've let slip. Listening to the director of evangelism for the Southern Baptist Convention, not just the state, but for the country, and therefore for the world. The director of evangelism telling a story of talking to a person on an airplane and visiting, and the plane lands and they part their ways, and he never brought up Jesus is our Savior. And it convicted him so, because it's an opportunity lost, never to come his way again. And that's true about this foolish servant. You know, there are two ways it could be foolish. The first foolish decision we can make is never to accept salvation. Jesus, the very Son of God, died in our place. He who never sinned took our sins on him as he hung on the cross. And he offers it to anyone. John 3:16, for whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Folks, it's an offer to anybody who will believe, but there are people who refuse to believe. And that's a sad situation. But it's just as sad never to live by his promises. We accept all the generosity God can give us, but so many people are unwilling to serve back. That's why Jesus had so many times whenever people said, I'll follow you. And he says, you don't know what you're saying. The foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. You don't know what you're saying. And the person who says, I'll follow you, but let me go back and take care of my dad until he dies. He says, let the dead bury the dead. You are going to follow me? Follow me. Jesus' fellowship is not an easy thing. But it's something that if we are definitely his disciples, we'll do. But there are a lot of people who claim the name of Jesus who never live by it and don't do anything with it. Well, we know that we need to use what God gave us. But what are the basis of God's rewards? As we see in this parable. First, we see that it is a reward for faithful service. God rewards us not because of the volume that we produce, but for the faithfulness of our service. Did you notice that he gave the same praise to the man with two talents as he gave to the one with five? Word for word, identical. One presented five talents, let's say $5,000 more, and they say, whoo, that's good. The one presented only $2,000 more. You say, chump change. Not so. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well with a few things. I'll give you many things to do. And enter into the joy of your master. What a wonderful praise. And it's not because of volume. Do you ever work with somebody who needed constant supervision? If you've been in the workplace long, yes, you have. You ever work with somebody who worked really hard while the boss was watching? But when the boss is not watching, it's a different story. Jesus is calling for people who are willing to work without constant supervision. Jesus wants a self-starter. That's a good word in the business world. Self-starter. It's nothing really fit Christians real well, but it does get the attitude we're to have. Because we love our Savior so, who died to set us free from our sins, that we want to work for Him, and we'll work for Him when we get a chance. Have you ever noticed that you do the very best work at something you really enjoy? Now, some of y'all may have a job that you don't really like, and you can't really relate to that. So think about a hobby. You like to make something, you like to build something, you like to garden, you like to do whatever you do. Some people like to fish. And you work real hard at what you like to do. But this is what we need to recognize, our place in this story. We need to like to do, because God loves us so. A good worker is a self-starter, follows instructions. If somebody tells you what you're supposed to do, step 1, 2, 3, don't do step 3, 2, 1. Do step 1, 2, 3. Follow instructions. Well, we need an instruction manual. Does our church provide an instruction manual how to be a good Christian? You bet we do. But we didn't provide it. God provided the instruction manual. And it tells us how to live. We need to follow the instructions. And a good worker delivers the goods. In this parable, two of the servants delivered the goods. One servant just gave him back what he had. And that's all he had. Folks, we need to deliver the goods for Jesus. I wonder. I don't know if you ever worked in a factory. I never did. But my sister did. And if you have, you know what I'm saying. You think Christians should be rewarded like being paid piecework? My sister worked for the Lee factory. Used to be a Lee factory in Richland. Used to be one here in Lebanon. She worked in Richland. And she had to make so many pieces to get basic wage. But if she made over that number of pieces, she got paid for each piece over that she was able to produce. If we Christians were rewarded as piecework, what would our wage look like? Would we even make basic wage? I'm thinking we've got some thinking to do. But you notice that the reward is equal for faithful service. Much fruit earns praise. Some fruit earns praise. And all we're asked to do is to work to our ability. Work to our ability. Well, let's think about God's profit and loss policy. That really comes to me out of verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That's kind of puzzling, isn't it? Say, what was he talking about? Well, on one level, only Christians will earn eternal rewards. God does not offer rewards in heaven to those who do not belong in heaven. It's interesting for me to listen to popular media, whether it's a movie or a TV show, sometimes even on the news. You hear somebody talking about a loved one passed away, And they say, well, I'm sure he's in heaven now. I don't care what he lived like. I'm sure he's in heaven now. I'm not sure of that, folks. Because only those who accept salvation through the name of Jesus Christ, we studied that in Sunday school this morning, will be saved. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. It's the only way. And so only Christians will get eternal rewards. So if you've not been saved, if you're not a Christian, I'm not talking to you. Because you cannot give what you don't have. That's simple truth. You can't give what you don't have. And so he wouldn't be giving any gifts to somebody to use in his service. But one thing is true. Profit and loss. Blessings beget blessings. There's a simple rule in mathematics. It's multiplication by division. You can study this in cell mitosis in science. But when you have one and you divide it in two and give it, you have two. And you have two and you divide it and give it, you have four. And on you go. That's the way cells in our body operate. That's the way God has planned his kingdom to operate. For everyone who begets one, it doubles. And if two beget theirs, it doubles. That's what Jesus is talking about in this parable. We give away what we've been given. We share with others what God gave us. It's not ours to hold. It's not ours to be greedy with. It's to be given away. And the more we give it away, the more we have. You can't beat it. God had it planned. And when it's used for God's glory, it will accomplish the purpose where he sent it. Isaiah told us that. It will accomplish what he sent it for. Well, one thing we do know. Those who refuse Jesus lose. They lose the opportunity for eternal life. They lose the opportunity for blessings. They lose the opportunity to serve God. The eternal life offered to them is missed. Now, there's one good thing about this life of ours. God has given us so much time on this earth. A different amount of time for different people. But God knows how long each of us has. And sometimes when a person hears the opportunity and the offer of salvation, and they say, I'll think about that later. They may have another opportunity to hear this, and the offer comes again. And they can take it. But there will be only loss if that opportunity, that offer, is rejected. There's no coming back from that. Well, what's us to do then? We have the parable of the talents. And this, the fact that he took away from the one who didn't have it, he wasn't a slave. He wasn't a servant to his master. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. So he didn't have anything. The fact and truth of this whole thing is those who don't have salvation are going to lose everything. Once this life is over, there's nothing but eternal punishment to follow. They lose it all. But those who have, more will be given to them. It's a promise. We will be blessed as we serve. There's nothing greater than being able to reproduce our own kind. What do we need to do? I think we as Christians need to give renewed effort. Like the brother this morning said, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will give us the power to reproduce ourselves. But we need to be willing. Jesus called for dedicated service. It's a whole lot the same thing as like we see in Matthew 16:25, when Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Folks, if we're greedy with our life and we hold it to close to the vest and we never share it with somebody else, are we truly doing what Jesus has called us to do? But if we give our life away and give it to somebody else, not only do we have it, but they have it, and we have doubled. We've reproduced. And that's what God wants us to do. He calls us to renewed effort. He calls us to give to Him and to give to others what He has given to us. It's not ours to hold. It's ours to give away. Are you willing to do that? If you've not been the witness, the testimony that you should be in the community in which you live and work, think about it again. What has God given you? And what have you given God? Pray with me, if you will. Our Lord and Savior, we praise your name. And Lord, we confess that we've not been the servants we need to be. And Lord, we ask you to forgiveness. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would stir us to renewed effort. And Lord, give us the assurance that what we do is only in your power, and not be worried about failure. If they reject us, Lord, you said it because they rejected you first. Help us to live for you. Lord, show us how and give us the opportunity. Open our eyes to the opportunity to reproduce. And give us the desire to do so. Guide us in your care. Lord, if there's one here tonight who says, I need to rededicate my life, I've not been living for the Lord, and I want to, give them the courage to step out, that we may pray together, and you may bless. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.